seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I direct you to Exodus chapter 18 and verse 23. The book of Exodus chapter 18 and verse 23. If thou shalt do this thing, and God command thee so, then thou shalt be able to endure, and all this people shall also go to their place in peace. The book of Exodus chapter 18 and verse 23. If thou shalt do this thing, and God command thee so, then thou shalt be able to endure, and all this people shall also go to their place in peace. Jethro here went into, as we read in the lesson, into the wilderness to Moses, and Moses could declare to him, as we read, the wonders that God had done. And I just want to look at a few of those things before we come to the text. Firstly, he'd got something to rehearse to them, hadn't he? of what God had done, not what Moses had done himself, or any man. He could declare to Jethro how God had brought them wonderfully out of Egypt. And the Lord had done it from beginning to end. And then he could declare to them too how wonderfully the Lord had delivered them from the hand of Pharaoh and all his host when he pursued them and they came to the Red Sea. And it's a wonderful thing, you know, as we have sung in that beautiful hymn just now, if we've got a few things we can look back on which the Lord has done. And here they could look back on it and see Moses in particular could rejoice in what the Lord had done. And but then they stood still to see the Lord work, didn't they, at that Red Sea. You know, it's a wonderful thing when we can stand still and observe the wonderful deliverances of the Lord. It may be in your providential pathway, it may be in your soul. And what effect did that have upon you? And what effect did it have upon dear Moses and the children of Israel? It humbled them. It brought them right down to the feet of the Lord Jesus to acknowledge the wonders he had done. But then too, there were further things that he did. Firstly, in supplying their need, sending them the manna from heaven to provide for them each day. You know, it's a wonderful thing when we can sit down to our meal table and truly have a thankful heart for the Lord's wonderful provision. I love that word in the fifth psalm, where we read this, "Thou openest thine hand and satisfiest the desire of every living thing." And you know, the dear children of Israel, they could look back and they could see how the Lord every day had opened his hand and supplied their need. We sing, don't we, in the hymn, "My every need he richly will supply, nor will his mercy ever let me die." But then too, when they came to the waters of Marah, but before they came there, they were enabled to praise him and bless the Lord for what he had done. Let us ever remember the Lord is worthy of all honour and of all praise. And if he answers your prayers, poor soul, or blesses you, don't forget to give him the glory, the praise, the honour due to his holy name. Because that's what they did in that beautiful 15th chapter, didn't they? They were enabled to sing. We read then, sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, "I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song, and he is become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him an habitation, my father's God, and I will exalt him." Oh, may we know more and more times of real praise and real gratitude for what the Lord has done. But then we find them coming to the waters of Marah. The people wanted water, they wanted drink, but then they had to come to this place where the waters were bitter. And you know, there are those times where in our souls and in our pathways where we will have to come into bitter things. We cannot make them sweet, can we? Moses and the children of Israel, they could not sweeten these waters of Marah. But what was the Lord to do? He was to tell Moses exactly what to do, and to cast in that tray into the water, and the waters were to be made sweet. And you know, that tray wonderfully sets forth the dear Lord Jesus and his cross at Calvary. The hymn writer said, and I often quoted, "Had I a glance of thee, my God, kingdoms and men would vanish soon, vanish as though I saw them not." Just a glimpse. You see, if the Lord comes in that bitter path you may be in, it may be in providence, it may be in the soul where the bitter onslaughts of Satan, bitter temptations, and then in the pathway bitter afflictions, bitter trials. But the Lord can make them sweet, you know. Think of what the dear hymn writer said. "Although our cup seems filled with gall," and there's nothing more bitter than that, "there's something secret that sweetens all. And that something secret is the Lord being with you. A precious Jesus being made very precious to you. And it will sweeten it all. Just a glimpse of his sufferings, his agonies. And it'll melt the hardest marble of your heart and mine. But then, you see, there were many other things they could declare of what the Lord had done and how he had worked for them and in them. But this chapter seemed to so rest upon me, thinking of the services today. And, you know, Moses, we often think, and he's referred to in the Word of God as representing the law, and that is true. He came to represent the law. That's why he did not take the children of Israel into the promised land. Joshua was to take them into the promised land. Moses was here to represent the holy law of God, the commandments of God. And he viewed the land. I love that verse, you know, when Moses stood and viewed the land. Moses viewed that promised land, didn't he? And what a blessed view it was of it. And oh, that we might stand where Moses stood and view the landscape o'er, not death's cold streams nor Jordan's flood should fright us from the shore. But on the other hand, and it seemed to so rest upon me, and particularly in what is recorded in this chapter, Moses in many ways was a beautiful type of the Lord Jesus. Oh, he was. You think how many times, how many times he pleaded on their behalf. He interceded for them. He cried unto the Lord at the Red Sea for them, didn't he? In many ways, he was the mediator. And that's why I say, in many ways, he was a beautiful type of Christ, leading them. It seemed to so rest upon me yesterday, thinking of the dear man, you know, how he led them. We know it was under supervision, if I may put it like that, of heaven. But he led them through that wilderness. And you know, they weren't an easy people to lead, were they? Some of the Lord's people are not easy people to lead. And your flesh and mine, it's got its old nature. It kicks against this, it kicks against that. We say it to our shame, but you know, he leads his dear people. And the children of Israel were not the easiest of people to lead. They were rebellious. They were stiff-necked. They kicked against him. But he led them on. Oh, he did. Under the blessed direction of heaven toward the promised land. But secondly, how many times there were those great burdens they had. And they were to bring them to Moses. And he pleaded on their behalf before the God of heaven. Now, there may be those causes that you have, and I just turn aside to name it, that you have today in your heart, in your pathway, concerning all the sin that weighs you down and burdens you. And we read this, Be thou for the people to Godward, thou mayest bring the causes unto God. Now, I don't know what you may be in charge of God, but you think of those hard causes. What do we read on another occasion? The cause that is too hard for thee, bring it unto me. And there are many causes, you know, that the Lord's dear people have that are too hard for them. Oh, they are. But they have to bring them to the Lord. Take them to Him. Don't try and manage them yourself. He alone can appear. He alone can make bare His arm. He alone can provide. He alone can make a way where there is no way. But Moses' father-in-law could see how Moses was trying to lead these dear children of Israel. And he gave him some very clear instruction, didn't he? Good counsel, we may say. And there are times we need counselling. We need one to show us the way. And the Lord often uses His servants. He uses His word. He may speak audibly from heaven to direct us in the way we should go. And here, Moses' father-in-law, of course, he was well experienced with the wilderness journey. And he speaks to Moses concerning how he was judging the people. And it came to pass on the morrow that Moses sat to judge the people. And the people stood by Moses from the morning until the evening. And much could be said of what Jethro said to him of counsel. But you see, there was a point that really seemed to stand out to me, and that was this. He hadn't got to do it all alone. You see, and it's often so with a pastor or ministers of God. Many people pile this on them and that on them and something else. And really, it's a wonderful thing when there are those to help them in the journey. Because you see, Jethro realized that Moses would not be able to endure this all himself. And he commanded, didn't he? He says to Moses, Choose able men out of all Israel and make them heads over the people, rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, rulers of tens. They judge the people at all seasons. The hard causes they brought unto Moses, but every small matter they judge themselves. And Moses let his father-in-law depart, and he went his way into his own land. And you see, those that were to help him in the leading of those people. It's a wonderful thing, you know. He spoke of it, didn't he, earlier in the council speaking to Moses of the characters that they should be. And I thought what a lesson there was to us. He says, hear and let them judge the people at all seasons. But then he says this, moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people able men, not able in their own ability, but able under the God of heaven, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over them to be rulers of thousands and rulers of hundreds and rulers of fifties and rulers of tens. This is what they should be. Men that were able, first of all, and such as fear God. And I thought, what a wonderful word of counsel that was. And they were to help Moses bear those burdens, that he might be able to continue under the help of heaven. But they were to be men of truth, not deviating in any way from the truth, steadfast, unmovable in the vital things of God. And do we not need it today? But then let's extend it further. When you think, and I don't have to remind you, but we think of the solemn state of the nation today, may the Lord put it in their hearts to pray that we might have such leaders once again in the United Kingdom. Able men. Who are they, if you look around today, that were men of calibre, even in the nation, such you go back to the war days of Mr. Churchill, men that knew what Great Britain should do. None know today. Able men. Not able in their own side, but able under the anointing and power of heaven. Such as fear God. How many today fear God? Now, we're not the judge, but how they live, how they walk, how they speak. How many have we heard of late or read of late that say we should seek first the God of heaven in all the affairs of this nation? For the most part, it's swept under the carpet. Men of truth. You know, this is a very vital thing. Men of truth. Grounded upon a good foundation. Men of truth are rooted on a good foundation. Look at it naturally. And then think about it spiritually. Spiritually, it's men of truth that are on the rock, Christ Jesus. And nothing will move them off that rock. They love the truth. They speak the truth. They want nothing else but the truth. And here was a man such as Moses, and there were those among the leaders of the children of Israel. These are the characters. And then hating covetousness. And all we see today is men coveting this, coveting that, and coveting something else, and coveting to be something in this earth, instead of doing the will of God. Now, may that be rooted deep in our hearts, a plea that the Lord would grant it in our land. And what a mercy if he does. But you see, our text speaks, and I just want to hint at it. If thou shalt do this thing, now let us look at it in a few ways as we may be helped. First of all, if thou shalt do this thing, is it in your heart and mine to pray that this may be done even in our land, even in our churches? You know, there wouldn't be the drifting in many of our churches into lightness if there were men of that calibre that ruled, deacons, ministers, faithful elders in the churches, steadfast, you see. And we think, and I was looking at the other day of how many chapels have departed from the truth since I started in the ministry, and I could think about 50. Used to be sound, solid, and gracious causes. They've either let the world in and the devil, or they've departed from the truth in other ways. Many of them I preached in days past, and many now of them are closed. But does it exercise us that if thou should do this thing, which the Lord alone can lay in our hearts, Moses had got to obey what his father-in-law said as for a message from God? And may it be the message, and I preach it to myself, concerning us. And then it may be as something, you know, in your providential pathway. That you may have to do. The flesh may not like it. But it's doing what the Lord has commanded, you see. And then we think of the sacred ordinances of the Lord's house. If thou should do this thing, venturing in it, you see. I remember preaching some years ago now from those words in the book of Ezra. Arise, for this matter belongeth unto thee. We also will be with thee. Be of good courage and do it. And you know, the dear man there that had been offered a position and a promotion, and he didn't know what to do. And he came up to the house of God, burdened with it. What shall we do, Lord? And that's text the Lord gave to me. Arise, for this matter belongeth unto thee. We also will be with thee. Be of good courage and do it. And you see, that was spoken in the book of Ezra regarding building the wall. And there were those that were to be with him in it, in the building. But it has a far greater meaning. We also will be with thee. The Lord speaking, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. We also will be with thee. Be of good courage and do it. Clear word, you see. He knew what to do. And if the Lord speak that, you know, today, it'd be a wonderful thing, wouldn't it? Ezra knew that's what he got to do, and all those that were to be with him in it. Midst all the opposition from Sanballat and Tobiah, he got to arise and do it. If thou shalt do this thing. Now I don't know what this thing about Moses, it was what Jethro had spoken to him to do, and in doing it, there was going to be profit, you see. We think of, I don't seek to be led in this, but we think of the dear mother of Christ. You know, the Roman Catholics make too much of her. But, you know, she was a wonderful character. And on one occasion, if not more, she was used as the messenger of heaven. You go to the marriage in Cana of Galilee. They had no wine. And what did she say? Whatsoever he saith unto you, Jesus saith unto you, do it. And in doing it, there was going to be profit. The water was to be made into wine. Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And, you know, we need much grace to obey that, don't we? I remember preaching from that at Staplehurst when Mr. John Rosier was exercised about the ministry. And on the second Lord's Day in August it was, and I preached from that word, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And I felt so clearly the Lord had given me that message, and I didn't know why, but excuse me. But on the Monday, you know, he telephoned me and said, could he meet me at the chapel? And he opened his heart concerning the ministry. It was the final, the final bringing of it to fruition, you see. And the Lord did it. Whatsoever. Now, that's a vast word, isn't it? Whatsoever. It can mean many things. With the case, as we have named, of the servants, they had to do whatever the Saviour was to command them, and in doing it, there was going to be the blessing, the profit. So he says here, if thou shalt do this thing, it may be, keep silent. There are times where he commands us to keep silent. It's a wonderful thing when the Lord has said, and he's told me on different occasions when I felt I got to speak or say something, be silent. Leave it in my hand. I will work. And who shall let it? But there are times when we have to speak. You read Ecclesiastes, don't we? A time to keep silence and a time to speak. And when that time comes to speak, poor soul, he will open the sinner's mouth, whether it's to follow him or declare what he has done. If thou should do this thing. If thou should do this thing. Seemed to so rest upon me, you see, when this text came, if thou should do this thing. And God command thee so. You see, Jethro endorsed it with the most divine authority it could ever be endorsed with. And God command thee so. And if he command thee so, poor soul, you see, he put this to Moses of what he felt concerning this in his discernment to do this thing, but he seals it with this wonderful word, and God command thee so. That is the final seal of it, you see. That's what the Lord will do. And if any man question you on it, you can go back to them and you can say, well, God has commanded me so. And you won't be able to be moved on it. The devil will attack you. Don't think that you're going to get away easily. The devil will attack you on it. There have been things over the years that one has had to do which the flesh has just shrunk from and said, Lord, we can't do that. We've had to do it, and we've had much opposition because of it. But I stand on this. If God command thee so, he will be with thee in it, poor soul. And that's a very wonderful thing, isn't it? If he's with you in it, what do we read? If God be for us, who then can be against us? And you think of all what Moses had to go through and the opposition there was from all the Amorites, the Hittites, the Jebusites, the Canaanites were still in the land. And all the opposition against the children of Israel. The giants when Joshua took them into the land. But the Lord was with them. It's a vital thing, child of God, to have the Lord with us. Oh, it is. And if he is with us, it'll be well. Well, life endure, and it'll be well when we're called to die. If thou should do this thing, now you know in your heart what this thing is. Well, and I didn't know where I was going to go when I started this morning, but let me just go a step further. You think of Abraham's servant when he went down to seek a wife for Isaac. What did he do? He committed the whole matter into the Lord's hand. Cast it all upon his God. Lord, we cannot begin to do this. Not of ourselves. If thou shalt do this thing, he was to venture not only under commission from Abraham, but commission of heaven to go down and seek a wife for Isaac. But what do we read in that chapter? What Laban and Bethuel said, the thing proceedeth from the Lord. We cannot speak unto thee bad or good. The thing proceeded. They could see in their discernment the Lord was in the matter, and he was. And he was with that dear servant. And how the Lord wonderfully, you see, sealed it with Rebecca coming forth, and how the Lord went before the house of Laban and Bethuel. And what did they say to him? They didn't turn him away, did they? You know, a soul that rightly ventures to follow the Lord in his sweet commandments and ways, a loving church wouldn't turn them away if they came under the power of heaven. What does the hymn writer say? You can't come too filthy, come just as you are. And what does do we find here? With Abraham's servant, what did they say? Come in thou, blessed of the Lord. Wherefore standest thou without? For I have prepared the house and room for the camel. You know, the Lord will prepare a soul for his sacred commandments, his ordinances, and he'll prepare the church to receive them. Oh, he will. And here you say he prepared Moses' heart and he sent the Jethro with the word. If thou shalt do this thing and God command thee so, then thou shalt be able to endure. And really that's the clause that seemed to so rest upon me with this text. Then thou shalt be able to endure. Some of you might find this morning, well, the way's hard, the way's difficult. How can we endure? Think of the dear woman with the issue of blood. How could she endure? How could she ever get healing? How could she ever venture through that crowd? We hope to sing of it in a moment. But you see, the Lord gave her grace to press on. I love that clause of the hymn. If thou press on, the crowds will fly. They'll flee. If thou press on. Let's be very clear before I leave it this morning. There's no going back. He that putteth his hand to the plough and looketh back is not fit for the kingdom of God. They're not my words. They're the words of the Saviour. And there's no going back. The only way for the children of Israel was to press on. However hard the way was, however hard the way was for Moses, if thou shalt do this thing and God command thee so, then, only then, thou shalt be able to endure. Well, as help this afternoon, I want to look a little about this enduring. Well, we'll leave it for your prayerful meditation. May the Holy Spirit apply the word. Amen.